Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, chapter 13. Start reading at verse number 47. 47, chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, Have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Let us pray. Father, thank again, Lord, for the word of God, your many blessings upon us, how good you've been to us. Father, thank you for those that's ill and afflicted, God, how you've undertook for them, and we want to thank you for it and continue to heal and bless them. Now, Lord, with the preaching of the word of God today, we need your help. We need your power, your wisdom. We need that from up on high, and I just ask you to help this preacher this morning. And Father, I just pray as it goes forth that all of our hearts will be open and, Lord, tender to the word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will be able to do his work in our hearts. If there's any unsaved here this morning, Father, I certainly pray for the salvation of that soul. I pray for we as Christians to be encouraged and helped and, Father, admonished and rebuked or whatever it needs to be this morning to help us to do right. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to bring a message this morning on the net that is cast. The net that is cast. This parable that I read to you is the last of the series of parables in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, concerning the kingdom of heaven. It's the last one given. I believe the key to this parable, verse number 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. In other words, he's telling us things is going to happen here at the end of the world. There's going to be some division there, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this parable here is closely related to the chapter 13 of Matthew over in the parable of the tares and the wheat, chapter 13. Let me get back over here a minute and verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat unto my barn. There's a lot of similitudes in the two parables. It's talking about the time when there's going to be some separation. God's going to take the tares. The tares we know of in the Bible, they look like wheat, but it wasn't wheat. But they were sowed by the devil. And there's always the tares amongst the wheat. God said, just leave them alone. There'll be a day when I'll take care of it. I'll separate all of that, you see. I don't try to just scare people, and I don't have any desire to scare people. But I do want to mention to you, it's so important that you understand you need to be wheat instead of tares. You see, just looking like wheat don't make you wheat. It has to be in here. It has to be born again. Amen? Now, I've heard preacher after preacher. I'm not going to give any statistics, but there's preacher after preacher that's preached across this country. B.R. Lakin was one of them. Preached across this country for years and years. He said at one time, he said, I really think about 90% of most church members are lost and on their way to hell. Now, I don't know if I can say that or not. I'm not trying to give you figures, all that, and say, but what I am saying is this. I believe amongst our churches in America, there's multitudes of people who've never been born again. I do believe that. Now, how many, I don't know all those things and all that, but I do believe it's there. I believe it's evident in churches across this land. I believe there's multitudes that's been playing the game of Christianity but never been saved, never been born again. And so God says there's going to be a time when all that's going to be separated. Amen? I mean, God knows who the tares are. God knows who the wheat are. Amen? All I want for you is have the assurance in your heart that you're wheat. See, that's all this pastor wants. I'm not trying to put pressure on you, not trying to be critical of you. I'm just simply saying, know in your heart that you're born again. Now, that's fair, isn't it? I mean, that's a fair thing to say. You need to know that you're born again, that you're God's child. So anyway, we talk about death. At death, things are separated. At death, we know for sure those saved go to heaven. We know at death, those who are not saved go to hell. Amen? I mean, that's what the Bible says. See, we know that. We know the rapture of the church. There's a division there. We know the rapture of the church. When the rapture happens, one of these days when God's people are called out of this earth, and that's what we're waiting on, waiting for the rapture of the church, we know only those who are saved are going to go to heaven. Everybody else is going to be left. Amen? I mean, that's just plain scripture teaching. Amen? So if the rapture would come right now, everybody that was saved in this building would just go on and be with Jesus. I mean, in a twinkling of an eye, that would happen. Amen? Now, the ones that was not saved would absolutely just remain where you are. Amen? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? There's a division there, you see. There's a time of sorting out. And that's what the Lord is trying to say even in these parables here. He's trying to teach us, and he talks about here the net that is cast, and that's what we want to talk about for a little while. There is a net cast. God wants everybody saved. There's no doubt about that. He wants every person saved. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world. But no one he did not die for, and he wants everybody saved. But we also know that Jesus casts the net out there. He seeks for men to be saved. He wants people to be saved. You remember the parable where it talked about the woman that was hunting for the coin. She'd lost the coin. She swept the whole house out to find it, and finally she found it, and she rejoiced. Well, that's a picture of Jesus Christ seeking sinners. That's what he does. You remember the shepherd that goes out and although he had 99 other sheep, he hunted for the one that was lost? That's Jesus. That's the way he does it. He wants people saved, you see. And what he's simply telling us is he wants us also to be a part as the gospel of Jesus Christ is cast as a net out there. He wants us to be a part of bringing it in. It's our responsibility to do that. It's our responsibility to draw the net and bring it in and get people saved. You see, the gospel is there. It needs to be cast, and we need to go out and send that gospel out and bring that net in and gather people in into the body of Christ, you see. And so his whole aim here was a large catch. Jesus' vision is worldwide. I mean, it is worldwide. He wants everybody saved. Now, some of you look around and you think, well, all those heathen across the world out there, boy, they're not important. They are to Jesus. Amen. They are important. Right. They're as important to Jesus as you are and I am. Right. Right. I mean, we get such a puffed up view of who we are and how great we are, but that's not the way God looks at it. Every single soul upon the face of this earth, God is interested in. Jesus died for, you see, and we've got to understand it. And so the net is cast, and people today, I understand this, people today will do everything they can to get out from underneath that net of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some will give you this story, they're in a higher social standing, they don't want to come down to admit that they're an old rotten sinner and lost and need Jesus Christ. There's those that will tell you, and multitudes have said it this morning, because they're not in the house of God, they're too busy. I mean, they're just too busy to pay any attention to what God has to say. I mean, they've just got other things to do, and they're just absolutely too busy. Some of them are already good enough, self-sufficient. I mean, they think they're just good enough the way they are. They do not understand what God meant when he just says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They just simply think they're all right. So there's all kinds of people out there, and they'll do anything they can do to get out from underneath the gospel net. But I say to you, all of it boils down to one thing, and that is unbelief. They just do not believe. They can say anything they want. Oh, I believe in God. They do not. They do not believe in the true and the living God. And they do not believe in His wonderful Son that came and died for their sins. They just unbelief. And so the gospel, though, the gospel net is to be thrown out and cast out so that all can be saved. That's our responsibility. God uses us then to draw that net. You remember when Jesus told Peter that He would make him a fisher of men? Peter, I want you to be a fisher of men. You've been a fisherman of fish all this time, but I want you to be a fisher of men, you see. And the gospel is the bait that God gives us to fish for men's souls. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus asked His disciples who men said He was, and old Peter spoke up and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Folks, that's what Jesus said He was going to build His church on. On that rock, He was going to build His church. Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And folks, you must believe that. Now, I'm not talking about up here. I'm talking about here. You must believe that with your heart. It's not a matter of believing it with the head. You must believe it with your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what the church is going to be built on that wonderful rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who truly believe upon Him. Now I want to show you something over in the book of Kings, 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, please. First of all, I'm going to read some verses from 6th chapter, starting at the verse number 24. It's kind of an interesting story here, but we'll take time to read that. 24th verse of the 6th chapter of 2 Kings. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and 4 parts of a cab of a dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we may eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto him, to her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall and people looked and beheld and he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Zaphat, shall stand on him this day. Now I'm going to stop there for just a moment. There was a great famine. Israel was besieged by Syria. I mean, they couldn't get anything to eat. They was selling an ass's head. They was selling dung of doves to eat. And it even got so bad that they boiled their own child. Do you understand the seriousness of it? And I know right now you're thinking, boy, that makes me sick. But I want you to get with reality. I want you to understand what happened. It got that bad. I mean, it was that terrible famine. They didn't have anything to eat. All right? Now, let's pick up in verse number 1 of chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit ye here until we die? If we say, We will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of the chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Now, that's kind of a long story, but it's got a wonderful, wonderful picture about it. We find them out here, and these lepers looked out here, and they said, you know what? They said, we're going to die if we sit here. If we go into this city, we're going to die because they don't have anything to eat in the city. If we go to the Syrians, at least they've got something to eat. And if we go out there to the Syrians, and if they give us something to eat, we'll live. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. So what does it make any difference? So they went on out there, and God had done a miracle. And God had caused the Syrians to hear a mighty force, a mighty army coming against them. They fled. They run. And so here we find these four leprous men. Can you imagine that? Walking around this camp with all this gold and all this silver and all these goods and garments and everything else and all the food they ever wanted. First of all, the first thing they did, decided they'd just go and hide it. They'd hide the gold and all of that. And I mean, they eat themselves, probably silly. And then they'd take some of that out there and they'd hide the gold and all that. And then they stopped and they said, but wait a minute. This isn't right. You know, we've got all of this, and this ought to be a great day. And if you'll follow the story, they went on in and told the king and everything. And, of course, the king came out after Bidden's long story there, came out and got the food and got all those things, you see, just like Elisha said it would happen. But they said, you know what, we can't just take this for ourselves. We've got to share it. We've got to give it to those who do not have. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but that's one of the most beautiful pictures of what God expects of us. There is a famine out there of the Word of God. Now, you don't think so, but there's a famine out there of the Word of God. The Word of God is not being preached like it should preach. The gospel is not getting out like it ought to get out. And all at once, we're sitting around, and here we are. We've got the gospel. I mean, we know how to get people saved. We know what it took to get us saved. I mean, don't you know how you got saved? If you don't know how you got saved, you're not saved. It's that simple. And if you know how you got saved, you know how you could tell someone else to get saved. I mean, isn't that right? I mean, you do know how you got saved. Amen. So if you know how you got saved, you can surely tell somebody else how you got saved. Amen. Now, what these lepers done, they decided they was going to share it. They could have hid it. They could have taken off. They could have carried a bunch of it away with them. They said, this is not right. Now, I'm saying to you folks, do you understand it's not right for us to keep the gospel? It's not right for us to have it and not share it. You see, if you understood the terribleness of this day, and I understand some of these words may not be the best words, but, you know, he talked about the ass's head. I mean, they sold the head of a donkey to eat. I want to say something to you. There's a lot of donkey's heads being sold in this country today. Modern religion and false teachings and false cults are everywhere. They're a substitute for food, but they're not the food. They also took the dove's dung. And I say to you, there's plenty of that around too. There's this world's filth all around us. There's the TV mess that's out there and the movies and the pornography and the drink and the drugs and all the filth of this world out there that people are eating. And it's just like dove's dung as a substitute for food and what we really need, but they're eating that instead. And then you look down and you see where it got so bad, they took and boiled a son to eat because they're starving to death. And it reminds me, my friend, of how that multitudes of people in this country are sacrificing their children in the seeding pots of this world. turning our children over to the world instead of taking them and making them go to the house of God and listen to the things of God and turning their hearts to God. No, they're just letting them do anything they want out there in the world. They're just sacrificing their children out there. Well, I want to tell you something. Outside the camp out there of this old world, there's something where there's plenty of food. There's something very special, and it's God Almighty and the wonderful gospel. And all the time it was out there waiting on them, you see. And instead of going out after, here we find these lepers went out there and found it. They finally found it. And instead of just holding it and keeping it within themselves, they shared it. What I'm simply saying to you folks is this. God wants us to take that gospel and cast that net out there, and He wants us to give that gospel to everyone we meet. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this tent meeting we're having. I'm so excited about it. I could just see God just doing marvelous, wonderful things through that. I really, if we'll get behind it, we'll just get out there and put some effort in it, God will do something for us. Understand? God will do something. Well, don't get too excited, folks. Now, don't get too stirred up. Just kind of hold down. We're a Baptist church, remember? I mean, I think you're getting too excited. Some of you just looking like, yeah, I ain't going to get excited about it. Amen. You're not going to get excited no matter what happens. Amen. You're just going to go ahead and do your own thing. You're going to show up for the meeting and ask God to bless you and no one else. Amen. Anyway, you know what? You're worse than them lepers. You're unwilling to share it. You're unwilling to get out there and get it. You just want it all for yourself. Amen. And that don't work. I'm just saying to you folks, we need to get out there and get that gospel out there and get that net cast out there, and we need to reach Jasonville. God's give us that responsibility, and Linton and all these areas around here, it's our responsibility to do it. Amen. And we need to share it. If you notice also, going back to the book of Matthew, it says in verse number 48, it says, which when it was full, this net drew to shore, and it sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. I want to say something to you. I think you already understand this, but you know, in Christianity today, there's gathered under the name of Christianity all kinds of things. The Ecumenical Church, the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, all these liberal organizations has saw to it that there's all kinds of things gathered under the name of Christianity. But I want to tell you, there's coming a day when there's going to be some separation. In verse 48, again there, he talks about it. He drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. There's going to be some separation. Only those washed in the blood are going to go to heaven. You've got to understand this. You've got to get a hold of it. Not church members going to heaven. You may be a church member, but it's not church members. It's not baptized folk going to heaven. Yeah, you need to be baptized, but that's not what matters. It's, are you born again? Are you washed in the blood? That's who's going to heaven. And if you're not washed in the blood, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to die, and you're going to open up your eyes in hell, and you're going to be in torment forever and ever and ever. You've got to make sure that you're born again. See, there's going to be a separation, a death. You die today, I'm guaranteeing you one thing, you'll go one, two places. There's no purgatory. I want to tell you, if that rapture happens right now, at this very moment in time, I'll guarantee you one thing, you'll either stay or you'll go. One or the other. You've got to make sure. There's all kinds of things that goes on in the Bible where God separates the judgment of nations when He comes back here to this earth and sets up His millennial reign. He starts that with a judgment of nations, and He puts the goats on the left hand and the sheep on the right hand. There's a separation. I'm simply saying to you folks, in the last judgment, God puts the saved in there in heaven. They're with Him forever, and the lost are in eternity of hell forever and ever and ever. There's a sorting out. There's a separation, and there is no in between. Amen. So we need to be sure where we stand. The gospel message is given out so folk can understand how to be saved and make a decision whether they want it or not. Amen. And those who do not want it, the Bible teaches us, is cast into a lake of fire. a furnace of fire. Hell must be terrible. I can't even imagine it. I can't imagine going and sitting down on a hot stove. I can't imagine seeing a flame, terrible burning flame, and running and jumping in it. Would you do something like that? Of course you wouldn't. I mean hot flame. Would you take a run and say, oh, well, I don't care where I go, and just walk into the flame? Of course you would not. That's why the Bible says in the book of Revelation, they're cast into the lake of fire. Be no choice whether you want to go there or not. Be cast into it. Burning forever and ever and ever and ever. Hell is terrible. And that's why God sent the gospel. That's why God sent His Son to die for your sin and my sin so we wouldn't have to. I want to tell you something, folks. At Judgment Day, all the mask will be taken off. You may have one on now, but you won't have it on then. It'll be stripped off. You may be fooling men, but you're not fooling God one moment. Amen. That's why the Word of God tells us about this wonderful net called the gospel. And it's to be cast out there so that men can be saved. And whose responsibility is it to cast it out there? Listen in verse number 51 and 52. You know, in verse number 50, he says, and they shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, folks, I don't think I comprehend. I don't know if anybody does. The horribleness of hell, the terrible torment that's there that will cause men to just gnash their teeth. And in a terrible flame of fire, biting and biting. I think that believes it means the biting of themselves, the biting of their lips and the gnashing of their teeth. I can't imagine this. But that's what it's going to be in hell. And then he says in verse number 51, Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then saith he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of the treasure things new and old. There's a whole message in that verse number 52, but I want to just share something with you. Are you instructed in the things of the kingdom of God? Do you understand what it takes to get somebody saved? Do you? Are you saved? If you're saved, you know what it took to get you saved. You're instructed on the things of the kingdom of God. And what you need to do is take those old things, or those old things, know how you got saved, and share them with other people. A teacher of the Word of God constantly seeks out new, wonderful truths. They're not new to God. They're not new to humankind. But sometimes they are to us. That's why we search the Scriptures constantly, helping to learn the Scriptures and teach it to our people and learn it ourselves, all those wonderful things. But folks, we can never forget the old gospel, the Word of God that tells a man how to be saved. And are you a householder? Are you someone who is born again? Are you saved? The net's out there. The gospel's out there to get people saved. And we've got to be the ones that draws the net. Amen. Now I'm saying to you, folks, it's serious business. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But I know this. If you're not saved, you're going straight to hell. Because the Bible says so. When you die. But the Bible tells us also, you can go to heaven by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for what He did upon the cross of Calvary for you, dying for your sins, buried and rose again. He did that for you. Don't play games with God. Are you born again? Are you a tare or are you a wheat? The net is out there. The gospel is there for you. God wants you saved, wants you born again. Be sure you are. Because at the end, at death, at the rapture, at the judgment, there's going to be a sorting out, a division, and there'll be no games played at that time. Now, all I want is this. I want you right now simply to ask yourself, if I died right now, am I 100% sure that I'd go to heaven? I'm going to tell you a story. I don't even think my wife knows this. You know Mrs. Callan from over at Carlisle? Brother Benefield told me the other day when he was here to see me. He said, Mrs. Callan, I suppose she's up in her 80s. I mean, been a faithful church member over for years. She said, Brother Benefield, she said, you know, I know all about the gospel. I know, I've heard it for years, but I look back on my life, I don't remember a time I really put my trust in Jesus Christ. She got saved. This Sunday, she was supposed to come forward. She's going to get baptized. Now, if you know Mrs. Callan, she is one of the sweetest ladies. True? One of the sweetest ladies you ever meet on the face of this earth. Sweet, precious lady. She said, Preacher, I don't think I've ever really been saved. Now, what I'm saying to you is, I'm not trying to scare you folks. I'm not trying to do that. I'm saying, I just want you to know you're saved. Now, if you're not sure you're saved, you need to get down this aisle. You need to kneel right here and let somebody take the gospel and show you through the Word of God how to be saved so you'll be ready for heaven. Amen. Wouldn't that be right, proper thing to do? Amen. Wouldn't that be good? Sure. It'd be good for you, and it'd glorify God. Amen. And you'd have an eternity where you knew where you was going to spend it with God forever. Amen. Now, I'm simply saying to you, if you're saved, rejoice in it. Thank God for it. Be glad you're saved. But if you can't say, Brother Ross, I know I'm saved today. I know for sure I'm saved. Now, I know Satan. I know how he puts doubts and things. But you look back to a time when you said, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I call upon him. I believe in him. And I put my faith and trust in him. And I know I'm saved because I trust in him. I'm not trusting anybody else. Amen? That's wonderful. But if you can't do that, we'll rejoice if you just walk down this aisle this morning and make sure that you're God's child, ready for heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and say, Brother Ross, no doubt in my mind, I know for sure I'm saved. I know that. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven because I put my faith and trust in Jesus. Would you just raise your hand, please? Say, I know that. Now, remember something. You're not going to fool anybody. You're not going to fool God. You may fool men, but you're not going to fool God. Okay? You just remember that. All right? Now, you put your hand in. Say, Brother Ross, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. You can put your hands down. You say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just not sure I put my faith and trust in Christ. And I'm not talking about something you've just done a little something wrong and you got guilty about that. I'm talking about, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You're trusting him for sure that you're saved. Say, Brother Ross, I don't know I'm saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to call your name out. Just lift your hand. I'll pray for you. I won't call your name. You say, Brother Ross, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Just don't know. Would you raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Someone. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. Thank you for the gospel net. Father, thank you for the wonderful gospel as we cast it out. And Lord, the folk will be caught in it, Lord, just caught and brought to Jesus. It's what we want. And I pray, God, we'll get a burden about that. Pray for anyone here. Maybe they didn't raise their hand. They may be here, not sure of salvation. Pray they'll walk this aisle this morning. Now, Father, your will be done in the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.